or I regard iniquity or sin in my heart, you cannot hear me. It's not that God will not. It's that God cannot. Why? Because he can't look upon sin. And if you're harboring a sin or a sin nature or something in your flesh that is taking control of you and it's affecting relationships around you, it's reflecting upon your relationship with God, I want you to know today, God says, repent from that. Make it clear today that you depend upon me. I think the word of the Lord this morning was very appropriate for the message today. Let's get these things out of the way so that when you put the armor on, things are pure on the inside. I don't care what kind of fortified city you've got. If the enemy is already inside the city, all the protection in the world doesn't do you any good. Right? Remember the Trojan horse story. They let this great big gift come in, and it was full of the enemy. And they locked up the city. They thought they were safe, but they didn't realize the enemy was within. And that's what sin does. It cloaks itself. It cloaks itself as an addiction. It cloaks itself as hatred, as jealousies, as bitterness. It cloaks itself as gossip or backbiting or hatred. Galatians chapter 5 talks about all the things that can happen and manifest in our lives if we are people who do not walk with God. These are things that the enemy brought into our heart to try and infect our heart with sin. And then we try and put the armor on. We wonder why we can't get victory. It's because the enemy always is already inside. So I just want you to take a moment this morning and say, Lord, just look at my heart for a second, Father, and just say, is there anything I need to clean up with you right now? Because you want this armor to work. You want this armor to be effective. Why? Because the enemy is effective. And if your armor is not, he's going to get you. Right. Amen? Amen? He's going to get you. So we just take a moment. We just say, Father, I want to be attentive to putting the armor on, but I want it to be pure on the inside first. All right. Father, thank you. Thank you. All right. The imagery of being a soldier is used many times in the Bible. Paul uses it often. It's one of his favorite. And sometimes the complaints that he of a soldier and what the soldier went through, Paul identifies with Christians and he says, you know, don't be like the bad soldier, be like the good soldier. And here's an amazing fact I want to read to you. It's estimated that more than 14,500 wars have been fought from 3600 BC to the present day. 14,500, as history records war. And the number keeps rising, of course, as we know, skirmishes and things upon border battles and all those things, especially in the Middle East where there's so much unrest. Some wars never end. And during that and keeping that fact in mind, during the same time period, there have been over 5,305 years of war and only 292 years of peace. Guess what? Spiritually, the same way. There has been a war waging, but there hasn't been any peace because the enemy knows his time is short. So he is at war to get as many souls, not to serve him, but just not to serve God. Because it hurts God. Every time a soul walks away from the Lord, every time a soul gets so wrapped up in itself that it cannot serve God, Satan wins a victory and he steals somebody from God. Now, Satan's not a god. He's a created being. He's an angel. To be worshipped and adored, he can't absorb that like God can, but he knows that if he can take somebody from God, it makes God sad. It grieves him. Because God created something so much better for us. So let's talk first of all today about the belt of truth. We got this picture. We're going to be using this picture throughout the series of messages, the belt of truth. You see the soldier there and all the parts in there. We'll be going through all those parts today. We're going to talk about the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness this morning. So the belt of truth, and if you look at the picture, the belt of truth is around the waist. It encompasses the body. It is a part that's necessary to attach all the rest of the armor. Usually Roman soldiers had this girdle and there were loops and hooks in the girdle that the breastplate fit into so that when he was in war that the breastplate wouldn't fly up and arrows wouldn't go between the girdle and the breastplate. It also held the sheath for the sword Sometimes they had a hook in there so they could put their shield in that and it would be more stable. So it's a very important part of the armor. It's the central part of the armor. And it's by no coincidence that Paul deals specifically with this first. Because if you don't have truth, you don't have the armor. Nothing else stays together. You need it. You need it. So let's go to verse 14. Ephesians 6:14 says, "Stand therefore," I think the King James says, "Stand fast therefore, having girded your waist with truth." It was the first piece to be put on. Before you put anything else, put the girdle on, make sure it fits good. Ladies don't wear those anymore, but I'm sure you ladies can identify with that from years gone back. It's important. But in the same way, the girdle of truth is the most crucial thing that you'll ever put on your heart. In John, there's an interesting portion of scripture from chapter 18. And it tells us the reason Jesus came. And I've made this assimilation before, but make it again. John 18:37 says this, "Pilate therefore said to him, 'Are you a king then?' Jesus answered, 'You rightly say that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice.'" Why did Jesus come? He came to save man, right? It's important. But that's not the main reason Jesus came. What's the main reason Jesus came? It was to declare the truth. What's the truth? God loves you. And God will do whatever it takes to get you to follow Him and to get you to love Him. That's why Jesus was sent in the flesh. To prove to the world that God loved him. And to provide a way of salvation. And then when Jesus left, to provide the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit comes as our comforter, as our counselor. And He's the one that manifests in our world today, along with Jesus, who indwells us when we get to know Him as our personal Lord and Savior. And we know that the God in His entirety lives within us. And it's amazing to me that the man who measures the universe in the span of His hands takes enough time to dwell inside my little heart. Isn't that incredible? When you think that God has that attention to me, and He thinks I'm that important to Him, that He would take part of Himself and He would indwell me. Not just surround me, not just be with me wherever I go, those things are true, but to indwell me. So why did Jesus come? He came to declare the truth. He came to declare the truth. Let's talk about truth. There are currently 57 different identities of gender assignment. Is that pretty up to speed? Melissa knows these things. There are 57 different gender assignments listed in today's world. My Bible tells me in Genesis chapter 2 that God created man in His own image, and male and female He created them. There is two gender assignments. Anything else is not necessary. But because man has been allowed to declare his own truth, we have 55 other gender assignments. How messed up is that? And now you can go to, in some countries, you can go to prison for identifying somebody as a woman when she wants to be identified as a man, or as a pansexual, or asexual. And you say, "You offended me because you called me she." And you can go to prison for that. Did you know that? In some countries in Europe, you can go to prison for that. Because you misidentified someone who was born a woman who wants to be called someone else. And by the way, it's not just limited to women. There are as many men messed up as women are in this world we live in. So where do we find the road to truth? Well, there's only one source of real truth, and I just read from it this morning. This is the only form of truth. Wrap your heart around the Word of God, and you will find truth. I guarantee you. It may not be sometimes what you want to hear. It may not be sometimes what you want to hear. Amen. Oh, wow. Thank you. I'm glad you're still with me this morning. Truth may not be what you want it to be. It may not allow you to have your addiction. It may not allow you to have the hatred or the bitterness or the envy or the gossip. It may not allow you to have lust. It may not allow you to steal or to kill. But I'll tell you, the truth stands for itself and the truth stands firm. You can count on the truth of the Word of God. No matter who you are, no matter where you walk, no matter what you think you're getting by with people, you're not getting by with God. Wow. And God stands for absolute truth. What does absolute mean? No variance, no compromises, no yeah, but. There is no yeah, but with God when it comes to truth. And isn't it coincidental that Paul says, put on truth. Put it around your heart. Put truth around your heart. Why? It's the only way that you're going to know what the lie of the enemy is. It says that wise people discern every spirit or judge every spirit. And so many times Christians, they'll accept a new way of doctrine, a new way of thinking of God, and they won't go back to the Word, and they won't decipher what the Word says of truth. Or they won't ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, is this true? I feel a check. What's wrong with this? How many different religions are there in the world? Well, a lot more than there are gender assignments in the world. And they're all trying to find God in their own truth. And if you talk to a person of Scientology, or you talk to a person of Mormonism, or of Jehovah's Witness, they have their own truth. The problem is, at some point in their truth, they got away from the Word of God and the absolute truth of what God stands for. I consider it an obligation and an awesome responsibility that when I stand behind this pulpit, that I preach the truth to you. Only what the Word says. I may have my own interpretations of how to apply it, but there is an absolute truth of the Word of God, and Paul says, put on truth. Proverbs says this, let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck and write them on the tablet of your heart. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. You want to be on God's side? You want God to think highly of you? Put on truth. Don't let truth forsake you. And that's in the very first part of Proverbs. If you read Proverbs, I do every day. I read, like today I read the 18th Proverb. Because it's August 18th. And I've been doing it for, more years than I've been a pastor. So over 15 years. And you know it's amazing to me that every time I read that, you think, well, doesn't it get old? No, but I can tell you something. When something comes up, that verse in Proverbs is right there. Because you know what? I've read it so many times. It's on my mind. And it doesn't take long to bring that back up out of my memory. David said, I meditate on the Word of God day and night. Why? So that he always stood for the truth. Now, did David fail? Yeah, absolutely he did. It would be a lie to say that David was perfect. He wasn't. But he knew where to go when he failed. Didn't he? He went back to God. Oh, search me, O God. See if there be any wickedness in me. Take me not away from your presence, O Lord, and renew a right spirit within me. David knew where to go when he fell short of God's call. And it was because he realized his truth was not God's. It's so important. We may stop here today because I just feel like we shouldn't go on to anything else this morning. Because the breastplate of righteousness has its own merit. And I don't want to short that portion of the armor. So I want to talk just a little bit further about truth this morning and just tell you, if we can't get the girdle on, maybe we need to lose something. You laugh, but it's true. It's true. If you can't get the girdle on, it's time to lose something. Paul says, set aside the sin, or the writer of Hebrews, set aside the sin that so easily besets you and the weight that discourages you, and and to take on that image, the author and the finisher of our faith, Jesus Christ. Take off the sin. Get rid of the sin. Why? There's no room for it when you put the belt on. And I really feel there has to be an error this morning of just coming clean with God, saying, God, I want your truth. I can't put any more armor on until I get truth figured out. Some of you have seen that commercial with the boy who is, it's a Clorox commercial, and he says he's got a belt that he can't get off in time. Oh, I hate this belt, I hate this belt. But you know what? That's how truth should be on us. When we try and shake it off, we can't get it off. And we find ourselves not being able to fall into sin because the truth is girded around us, clasped around us, fastened around us, anchored around us, secure around us, and then we start to put on the rest of the armor of God. It's incredible when you think how important this really is. And I hope that you've gained something today regarding this girdle of truth. Gladriel, would you put up the picture again for me? The belt of truth, the girdle of truth. It doesn't matter how good a soldier you are, if you haven't got the armor, you're going to have a difficult time fighting. But you can't start with a sword and shield. You have to start with the foundation. You have to start with what is secure, so that when does somebody knock you over, you don't have to worry about your breastplate of righteousness falling off or getting a space in it. You don't have to worry about your shield not being fastened or having lost the sheath to your sword and your sword being gone. Put on the girdle of truth today. Every head bowed, every eye closed. As you look upon that image in your mind this morning about the girdle of truth,